seems like a long time ago.
Yeah.
Bill Bender from Sporting News has been nice enough to pop by our table here in the fourth and final hour of 3D. Bill, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I can't follow up Rachel, guys, so I'm going to have to try. She does a wonderful job.
I mean, she came up with this Darius Geis story, a Leonard Fournette story, playing offensive line in peewee football. I mean, you know, she was digging deep with some good stories.
See, that's what I said, like the standard. But I can't. What I can do is help you guys talk about this gap between Alabama and the powers that be in the SEC East. And this feeling, I'm just doing some stat work up there. You mentioned Florida winning the last crown for the SEC East. Alabama has won 18 straight games against Florida, Tennessee, and Georgia.
Oh, wow.
It's unbelievable. So what is it? I mean, you look at programs like Georgia and Florida and Tennessee. I mean, even South Carolina and Kentucky, but people, look, they get support. I mean, people show up. They have the facilities. Why is the East, why has the West been so superior over the East?
It's almost in some ways a mental thing, because I think each one of those schools we mentioned, whether it's, I can remember a Florida-Alabama game where Alabama came in and led, I think it was 30-0 at halftime, and their players are holding their helmets up in the swamp. It's happened to Georgia twice, whether it was the blackout game or Mark Richt's final season. And it happened last year with Tennessee. I was at that game where Alabama just...
That was
I
bad.
Mean, 10 plays
yeah, it
in.
Wasn't, yeah.
10 plays in, I'm like, oh, I know what I'm writing tonight. It's going to get
brutal.
That
was coming off an off week.
Right. And, I mean, it's just a team that has so much depth for recruiting. So many guys that are, it seems like when you watch the NFL draft each year, it's this class goes, but then the next class right behind them, those guys show up. So like Kirby Smart said this morning, it comes through, it seems like a simple answer, recruiting and development, but nobody's doing it better than Alabama right now.
Let me ask this about the coaches, Bill. Derek Mason, who comes on with us every week during the course of the season, not this Derek Mason, the other Derek Mason on West End. It was rough early on, and we were rooting for him because it was very clear. He's such a likable guy to cover and to be around. But early on, it was like, you know, he's never been a head coach before, and he had to learn. And it's obviously looks a whole lot different now, today, than it did back in year one. Kind of like what we were talking about with Kyle Shermer earlier today on the show. Just the first half of last season to the second half looked like a totally different quarterback. Who Bill Bender at Sporting News is, do you feel like has grown up or grown into the role? You've got Kirby Smart, never been a head coach, now going into year two. Ed Orgeron in stop two, his second chance at being a head coach. All those guys that fit that category, who do you think maybe has the best shot of growing into what we expect out of a head coach? I guess Jim McElwain really doesn't fall in that category because he's been a head coach, and it's carried over, and he's had success now in the SEC. So maybe the guys that there's uncertainty with, who do you think best fits that bill?
Well, I think McElwain was my initial answer, but if we're DQing him, I'd probably go with Kirby Smart because of the recruiting. You saw that with their class last year. Georgia, obviously, the high school talent is substantial in that state. You've got to win battles in state. And the good news for them is they had Nick Chubb come back. They had Sonny come back. They had Roquan Smith come back. So he's got a lot to work with, but that's not the in-game part. And with college football coaches, we ranked them last week. It's a combination of recruiting, X's and O's, being the CEO. And I think you mentioned Derek Mason. He falls, as Derek would know, a guy like Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern, who I deal with in the Big Ten, a guy that's an excellent coach, but Northwestern doesn't have what Ohio State has and what Michigan has and what Michigan State and Penn State have. And that's it's hard to grade those coaches when you know that's what they're up against.
Yeah, because when you look at Coach Mason and what he has been able to do, like we said, that first year or two was a struggle for him. But then he kind of learned, and he will probably tell you this, it was job training for him. Being a head coach, he had to learn how to be a head coach. And obviously last year was much better for him because they got an opportunity to play in the bowl game. How do you think now that he has gotten that experience, now that he has played in some big games, beat a Georgia, beat a UT, was close in some other games, how do you think they fare this year in his third, fourth season?
Well, there's an opportunity there because the SEC East, to me, is a bunch of this team has this but, and there's a lot of yeah, there's probably a yeah but for every team in the conference. I would say you could say that about Florida. You could say that about Georgia. So the opportunity for them, I think the next step would be working into third place, fourth place, trying to get up there. And to do that, they're going to – I'm glad you guys talked about Kyle Shurmur, because to me, is he a quarterback that not only can play well and be fit in the system and all those kind of things, but can he elevate the program? When you're a Vanderbilt, you need a quarterback who can elevate the program, not just be a guy. He's got to go out and win those games against Tennessee, make it a fight against Georgia. Can't lose to Kentucky, Missouri, and who am I leaving out? South Carolina. They have to win those games if they want to do that. And if Kyle Shurmur takes those next steps, they'll have a chance.
Now, can he potentially be the best quarterback? And I know we have some good quarterbacks in the East, some guys that are not quite proven, but you see, whether it's Georgia, Missouri, you see guys that can get the job done. Florida in this situation as well. But if Kyle Shurmur continues to develop and continues to play the way he did that second half of the season, minus the bowl game, can he be not just the best quarterback in the East, but one of the best overall?
Well, I mean, that's what the SEC has this year, is very good potential quarterback depth. And I say that because Jacob Eason was inconsistent last year. I don't know how good he'll be. Florida, I like Felipe Franks, even though Zaire transferred in. I think Franks could be very good. Patterson, Bentley, these are all guys that maybe they're breakout stars. So that's why I'm saying with Shurmur, he's been through it, been to a bowl game, has to take that next step, because for a conference that we always talk about the defense, I think the narrative this year really is going to be the quarterback play, because there are enough good ones. And, of course, I didn't even get to Jalen Hurts, who I think is the best bet for the Heisman as a quarterback in the SEC because of the setup around him.
Now, if Jarrett Stidham, newly transferred to Auburn, if he's everything that they think he could be, what he showed at Baylor, do they upstage Alabama and win the West?
The Iron Bowl will be the biggest game of the year all those things are true. And that's bigger than Ohio State, Michigan, than Washington, USC, Clemson, Florida State. The Iron Bowl will be the biggest college football game of the season, because that means Auburn will have something for them. Mm-hmm. They haven't had that. They haven't – since the kick six, Alabama's basically run them into the ground. I think the 1 year Derrick Henry had 48 or 50 carries or something. Now, if Stidham comes in, they have the running game. If he can stretch the field with a vertical passing game, get those 20-yard chunk plays – and they can score and make Alabama's defense uncomfortable, then we got a ball game. Then I've been telling, I think I talked to Darren about this a little bit last night. I like everybody else, we predicted Alabama, USC, Ohio State, Florida State. I hope I'm wrong. Because if I'm right, that means the season will have absolutely no drama for
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
It'll feel like the NBA season.
Yeah.
Which I don't want.
No. We're at SEC Media Days. I get it. We're in the belly of this 4 days of SEC, SEC, SEC. Of the Power Five, just sitting here today in July, Bill, how would you rank the five Power Five conferences? How would you go one through five the way you think it's going to play out the season, and who's going to be the strongest, who's going to be the weakest conference?
I think I'll go backwards. So I think fifth is still the Big 12. Because there's not enough depth in that conference, and I don't know what Oklahoma and Texas have. And fourth would be the Pac-12. USC, Washington's probably what they want. I know the ACC had a big year. I'd probably put them three. It's because I think Clemson doesn't have Deshaun Watson. Florida State has a ton of talent. Big Ten to me is still – it's like 1A, 1B with the SEC, because the Big Ten East is, to me right now, the best division in college football. If Indiana's good, if Michigan State bounces back, because I think no other division has three schools right now, Michigan, Penn State, Ohio State, that you could make a strong playoff case right now. And if Michigan State turns around what happened last year, then you have four legit playoff contenders. I don't think any other division in college football can say that right now, that they have four teams that you could have in the playoff.
So did you have Big Ten one?
I'd say 1B, though, because the bottom half of the SEC is better than the bottom half of the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Like Rutgers and you know, Maryland's making some steps, but the Purdue's and the Illinois's, the bottom of the SEC is better than that. But I think The thing when you look at the college football playoff picture, most of the power in college football doesn't it's not about the conferences. It's about the SEC West, the Big Ten East, and the ACC Atlantic, which has Florida State, Clemson, Louisville, and NC State, whatever. I mean, that's a reach. But so I think 8 to 9 playoff contenders are just in those three divisions alone.
The top two games in your mind in week one is what?
Well, I mean Alabama, Florida State.
Florida State's got to be one. Okay, let's take them out.
So two more?
Timmy, two more.
Florida, Michigan, because the momentum both teams can create. No, a lot of people have questions about Michigan and what they lost, but they've got a lot of depth coming back. I mean, they've got Rashawn Gary. They've got their quarterback back. And Florida, the same thing. I think the winner of that game gets a ton of momentum. The other one would probably either be Tennessee, Georgia Tech, or West Virginia, Virginia Tech, because to me, I mean, having Tennessee and Georgia Tech down in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, again, big momentum. What if Tennessee loses?
We've already talked about
it. Sure
it's interesting that you brought that up. Like, what if they lose?
And the same thing for Alabama. If, like, what if Alabama loses?
I don't think that game has near the impact that, like, let's say if Tennessee loses. Because Alabama, Florida State, I don't want to say the loser gets a pass. But your season's not over.
As long as you don't get drilled.
Because both are still going to be favorites to win their conference. So their season is not over. Tennessee loses to Georgia Tech. You know what that means that whole week after that game.
Well, yeah, and the thing about the ACC that's real interesting is Florida State plays Alabama and Miami in the first 3 weeks. Clemson plays Auburn and Louisville in the first. The ACC picture is going to be very clear by September 16th, which is crazy to say. But to your point about Tennessee, if they lose, given I read Twitter like everybody else, I know what Butch Jones is up against, and we were talking about it yesterday. He brings out the cliches like nobody else, but the negative vibes, if they lose that game, will be out of control.
It'll be an avalanche, for
maybe
sure.
Too much to overcome in some ways.
You do wonder. That's why I think that game, I'm glad you brought that up. I do think that game is critical for them, because it's critical as in it's a, I hate to say, a first game of the season is a must win, but because of what we just said, it really is a must win. They can't afford to lose that game because of what happens afterwards.
And as you know, Darren, week one we overreact more than anything else. And it's just in the NFL and high school, college, my kids' peewee league, everything, we overreact to that first game. But with schools like Tennessee, you just can't. And it's all by itself on Labor Day, too. It's all by itself on that Monday night and when everybody's
– A lot of eyes will be on it.
Yeah. So if you're in that Thursday spot, the primetime spot, or Labor Day by yourself, it's kind of like Ole Miss, Florida State last year. Ole Miss lost, and season didn't go according to plan.
Good to see you, Bill. Thanks for doing this.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much.
Bill Bender, Sporting News. Appreciate him stopping by the table. More of 3D. We continue our coverage here from SEC Media Days. Thanks, next. Bill.